This is Dan Tortora and
Kate Tortora
here with Big Brother Blitz. We are the married couple that is big fans of Big Brother. We're going to sit here and give you our perspective on this. We feel like the only right way to do it, we're actually recording outside on the deck.
The Big Brother studio, actually.
So we're outside in the sun, as you see them do so much in the show, is just kind of sit in the backyard and get some sun in and relax and whatnot. So that's exactly what we're doing while we record this. And we're here to discuss with you what we've taken away from Big Brother's season.
I'm Jess, he's Cody.
19? No, not at all. None of that. So I will not ever be compared to Cody. But let's start there. What do you think about Jess and Cody? I mean, they seem to be...
terrible people.
Volatile relationship.
Terrible.
Terrible people. You're going to go there.
Terrible people, terrible game. I think they're smart, but they're not. That's what I got.
Why do you think they're playing such a bad game?
I think they are so into each other that they're not really communicating and listening to each other. I mean, Cody came back in and said, I'm going to listen to Jess. And he didn't. She wanted Ramsey's out. Or no, she didn't want Ramsey's out. He kept saying, oh, no, you're fine, you're fine. And look what happened. It backfired. And she had a gut feeling, like all women do. And she...
men have them, too.
But she... I think she's smarter than Cody, but I think that Cody's head is just too big to listen to anyone.
I think, yeah, I mean, Cody definitely has some type of... something man syndrome. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, like you said, he came back in the house and, you know, he said, I'm going to listen to Jess. I'm going to let her play her game. And she had head of household and she had the power of veto. It was a complete waste of a week because what they didn't realize is they had all the power in the house. But number one, they didn't use it properly. And number two, they didn't have the votes. So you have all the power in the house, but nobody wants to vote your way, and everybody is on the other side than you, and you can't even say the house is split, these people and these people, because it literally is the house and then Cody and Jess. And yeah, that house is split amongst itself, but nobody's on Cody and Jess's side except for maybe Elena and Mark. So, I mean, I think that they made a big mistake in getting HOH and the power of veto and forgetting the fact that you have the power, but you really don't, because the majority of the house didn't want to vote your way.
Right, I agree, and I think that they should have definitely put up... they have nothing to lose at this point. They should have put up two big players, or anyone except for Elena and Mark, and they would have been fine, because you think about it, Josh is probably not going to win POV, and neither is Ramsey's. So it wouldn't at that point have mattered, and then that would have, at least in my opinion, that would have divided the house. Whereas Josh and Ramses, I mean, that just was not a smart move. I mean, they just don't have enough in the house right now that it would have really mattered. But if they picked two big players and divided the house, they could have easily had a majority go to their side. I mean, that's what I think, but...
well, the thing is, if you put Paul up and Paul didn't win the power of veto, I mean, you're not going to have necessarily the votes to vote him out. But let's just say, best case scenario for Cody and Jess, that Paul got voted out. Cutting, like Jess said, cutting the head off the snake, everyone's going to be scrapping for a leader. You know, Matt hasn't emerged as a leader. Raven hasn't emerged as a leader. Nor has Josh, nor has Kevin, nor has Alex, nor has Jason. So getting rid of Paul essentially throws everybody into a little bit of a tornado in trying to figure out where they're going to lie and where the power is going to lie. And it may have made some people lean to Cody, not because they like him, but out of fear.
I agree, but I honestly think everyone in that house is afraid of Paul. I think that's why
like him.
Yeah, and everyone in that house has basically aligned with Paul, which that can't be the whole game. So let's say you end up getting Jess and Cody out. Then what? Then what do you do? And then they all kind of look at each other like, okay, what do we do now? And to be honest, I think it's a negative that Cody came back. Like, she's... personally happy.
She was trying to, like, reinvent herself.
And look at her. She won both HOH and POV, where, yeah, Cody may have thrown the one to her, but I think she's a really, really strong competitor, and I think he totally ruined her game.
And that's the thing is, you know, and I think she's starting to realize that, and I feel like when, you know, you got to figure out how much you look into the live feeds, but watching the live feeds and watching Big Brother After Dark, I mean, you start to kind of see her like, yeah, okay, like, you know, yeah, I'm attracted to you and this and that, but is this good for my game? Because when he got kicked out of the house, it started to, you know, she didn't necessarily repair everything, but she was having open conversations with people, and Elena seemed like she was okay with her, and, you know, different people in the house started to maybe not feel terrible about her, but Cody is that dog at the porch that if you want to go in and visit Jess, this dog is barking so loud that you just end up running away from the house.
Right, and I think that Jess can definitely have, I think she has potential for a social game. I think she did that very first episode prior to her connecting with Cody. I think Cody is just honestly kind of a POS. I won't say it, but I think he's a POS.
She said POV. She said Power Vito.
And I think he totally has distracted her and ruined her game. I mean, look at her. She's a freaking beast. She is. I mean, out of all those people in the house, you have big men that can compete physically, but she's knocked them out. And, you know, I don't like her, but I do feel sorry for her. And I think she's blindsided by Cody. And I think that he's totally ruined her game for her at this point.
This is Big Brother Blitz with Dan Tortora and
Kate Tortora
here with you inside of Superpowered Pop, this channel that we have for you, superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com, podbean, and on Facebook and Twitter at Superpowered Pop, PowerED, so Superpowered Pop. And we're talking Big Brother Blitz. We started talking about Cody and Jess, so I want to stay there and discuss in general, not just Big Brother 19, but in general. You know, you and I are obviously a couple in this world, but we're not in a game. Are you for or against Big Brother couples?
Against. Against. Very easy. I guess it can work out, as you've seen in past seasons, but I think that, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I think the heart can be more powerful than the mind, and you know.
But is it the heart, or is it just, like, physical attraction? You know what I mean?
I think it can be both. I think it can be, you think about it, you're in a house for, how many days is it? I don't know. But you're in a house, you don't have, this is sad to say, you don't have texting, you don't have email, you don't have telephone, you don't have any communication with the outside world, and that's all you have at that point. And yeah, it's a long time. I mean, I don't know. How many days? Do you know how many days?
I think it's like 100 days. It's 3 months.
Right, yeah, so that's, I mean, that's sadly a long time for somebody to go without some form of communication, but
yeah, because Paul said something like he has been in the house for over 100 days, and Cody went berserk on him and started yelling at him and saying, you know, what does that mean? And he's like, I'm just saying I've played this game longer than you played it. And he's like, so Paul, you're smarter than me and you know everything more than me, and he's in his face, and he's like, I'm just telling you that I know the game more than you know the game, because he's played it. I mean, he knows the challenges, what they're going to be. They're not going to be the same, but he knows it'll be like a comic book type challenge. He knows there was going to be one of those potion things that blows up in your face. He knows that stuff.
And to add on that, not only does he know the challenges, he's already been through that mindset. I mean, the mind is very powerful, and I think for 3 months,
yeah,
your mind definitely changes over that period of time where you start to go stir crazy. You start to do weird crap because you're trying to entertain yourself, where Paul has already been through that for almost, I mean, he made it to, what, the final three last
time?
Made it to
the final two with Nicole, yeah.
Final two. So he pretty much played the full-on game. So you have to think about it. His mind is already prepared, and I think that alone is what's going to hopefully get him far. I think people can act tough and act like they know the game, and yeah, you're a super fan and you watch it, yeah, but the mind is just so powerful that I don't think you mentally can ever prepare yourself until you actually have been in that Big Brother setting.
Well, and the thing is, you know, and I wanted to get to one of these things. You know, Paul is obviously playing a really good social game, but the more time you give Paul, if you give Paul another minute, a half an hour, he could have five more allies. You know, the longer Paul is in the game, the more dangerous Paul becomes, which he said himself, like, did nobody watch last season and watch how I ran this thing? But he's in a situation where the Den of Temptation protected him for the first 3 weeks as somebody who, you know, was trying to get to know people. He was the only vet in the house, and like he said, they've never had just one vet come back. He made history. It would be easy to get him out, and Cody was gunning for him in week one, and, you know, there were certain people that were on board, and then, you know, a lot of the alliance wasn't. But did the Den of Temptation allow Paul to play the game he's playing right now, in your opinion? I mean, in my opinion, 3 weeks of safety solidified him in this game, and if he didn't have it, I'm not saying he'd be out, but I'm saying he would have had probably a more difficult first couple weeks.
I agree, but I also think, like, I can't, to be honest, and again, I haven't watched every single season of Big Brother, but you look at it, and seriously, that, like, first, second episode, there already were, like, three showmances, I guess you could call them that. Like, people had already paired off into,
like,
relationships.
Day two. That's stupid.
And I think that kind of facilitated the house, and it... And to me, I don't know.
Because all the couples were together.
Right, so. And I feel like that already became a thing. And then, this sounds crazy probably, but I feel like Christmas became a distraction with her injury and all that. And then you figure, was it Megan who got voted, or who left the house with
and
the blue
Josh
hair?
And Josh being loud.
Right, so there's been multiple distractions. And again, I think a lot of these people are like, oh my God, Paul's so great, because he does have a really great social game. At the same time, I don't think anyone knows how to go in between. I don't think people know how to be his friend and be an ally. And then you go to Cody, who is just point blank, I want to get him out, I'm going to be a jerk towards him. I don't think there's anyone that's willing to go in the middle saying, you know what, I might try to play him, I might try to be friends with him, and then kind of go towards the middle and try to take lead. I think there's a lot of people in there that are kind of just hanging on by a thread.
Well, no, nobody's taking leadership, you know, except for Paul at this point. And I think what that's doing is, you know, it's Cody's desperately trying to grab at straws, but at best it's him, Jess, Mark, and Elena. Outside of that, four, there's nobody else. And then, you know, the other side of the house, I mean, it's just pretty much Christmas. I don't know where Christmas is going to function as things start to pan out, but she's anti-Cody. And Josh is anti-Cody. And Kevin doesn't seem like a big fan of Cody.
I have to say, though, And I've said this to you.
Like, everybody's against Cody.
After every episode, I don't think Kevin in his head thinks he's playing a good game, if you ask him. I don't think he really does.
But he can go both sides of the house.
No, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think he legitimately has a strategy. But I am telling you, again, I could be wrong. Mark my word, I feel like he's going to be top two, to be honest, because he has a good social game. People are looking at him like a father figure I can confide in him. And normally, I feel like for people of his age, it doesn't work out, but he has some...
And the guy last year, like the oldest guy in the show,
yeah,
was like in his
40s,
knocked out the first one.
But I think people look at him like, you know what, he's not a threat right now, but in the sense of that, he's laying in his bed making relationships. I mean, he was talking to Ramses, giving him advice, giving Paul advice, giving all these... technically kids,
Jason,
yeah,
and
giving these kids advice, and I think they are all so wrapped up in this drama that Kevin can at least part himself from this.
He's like a voice of reason for them. You know, he's a way for them to have reality and have a parent in the house. And you know, I mean, when you watch Big Brother After Dark and you see, you know, he's sitting with Paul And then anyone that comes into the room, it's not like, oh, Kevin has to leave. He can talk to Josh. He can talk to Jason. He can talk to Christmas. He can talk, and he thinks Christmas is crazy. But he'll sit there and he'll talk with Christmas.
And for goodness sake, Jess point blank told him that she won the temptation.
Because she said she had no reason not to trust him. And he said, I think this house is going to flip on you. He's the only one that told her that. And he still voted to get Ramses out. I mean, so he literally played both sides. And when Ramses went out the door, Paul's like, well, he went out the door with the 25,000, which Kevin got. I mean, Kevin has literally made everybody feel comfortable, and nobody considers him a threat at all.
Right, where in comparison, you look at Cowboy.
Jason, yeah.
Jason, and nothing against
Whistle
him.
Whistle not.
He's definitely played a low card in the game, but he, at least in my mind, he hasn't really played a social game. You don't see him. Kevin has in his favor that he is older, and he's a father figure to these people. Where,
well, Kevin will talk to everybody. Where Jason's usually with Alex. He was
and with, Jason, I feel like, is kind of like a joker card. Like, he can just kind of be whatever at this point, but I don't. He could probably make it somewhat far, but I definitely don't see him.
Jury.
Yeah, and I don't see him playing big moves. I think he's going to kind of ride the waves, but I really don't see him shaking things up. And he hasn't. He's kind of in that weird age bracket where he's kind of in between Kevin and he's kind of in between the rest of the house, where he's not a father figure. He's fun to be around, but he's just that kind of in-between guy, so I mean, I don't know, but those are the two in my head that just kind of are riding the waves right now that I feel like people are forgetting about.
You know, in seasons that, you know, since we got together and we would, you know, because you got me into it and we would sit and watch it together, I feel like floaters have been floaters. You know, floaters have not had a good social game. They've been kind of quiet. They don't have big personalities. They don't really know how to play the game. This year, If you want to call Kevin, I feel like, you know, somebody like Cody might look at Kevin, Jason, Alex. I mean, he's mentioned them all as floaters Christmas, but I don't really feel like anybody left outside of like Josh and Jason could be a floater kind of hovering back and forth. I think Kevin is solidifying himself. I think Alex is a dark horse, and she's talked to Paul about, like, hey, let's just have this secret alliance where we could run to the end of this thing together, and literally nobody would think about it. And Christmas, I feel like right now people feel bad for her, and she's the last person on the list to get out because she's playing a third of what she can do or a half of what she can do. So I don't know. I feel like this year the floaters are not really the floaters. I think they're actually smarter, as opposed to other seasons when you and I would go back and forth about, you know, why won't these people just like all band together and create another side of the house? I mean, there was times where there was 6 to 8 floaters that refused to work together and they could have flipped the house.
Well, right. And in my head, I really just keep thinking about the couples, unfortunately. So I think the couples, to be honest, I think Matt, Raven, Elena, Mark, Cody, and Jess, I think they have played such a big presence. At least in my mind, when I'm watching the show, that is where my focus goes to. I don't really pay attention to anybody else, to be quite honest. I mean, yeah, Josh is a loose cannon, but to me, it's pretty obvious. Josh, to be honest, I think is a really loyal person. Is he a loose cannon? Yes, but I think he's super loyal, and
Well, he's loyal to Paul because he is literally Paul's attack dog. Paul's like, hey, go over there and annoy Cody and Jess, and he's like, okay.
Right, and I don't even really have a description for Josh. I really feel for the kid, and I really enjoy him.
I think
being
he's smarter and has more control of his emotions than we think he does.
I agree, because to be honest, the last couple episodes we've seen, I mean, I even said this to Dan, he did play a really good acting part. I mean, if I had to pretend that I was sad and I was going home, I think I'd try to cry, and then I'd laugh whenever anyone talked to me or, you know.
Yeah, I can't see you as hiding it for a while.
No, so I think he can be good. I really am kind of like back and forth about him. But to be quite honest, in my head, it's the couples right now that I'm focused on. That's all I That's all my eye goes to right now on the show, and I guess at this point you might as well just try and get out the showmances and then go from there. I mean,
well, I think it's stupid. I mean, they're direct targets, and you know that they're either going to both vote for you or both vote against you, and that's the issue that I think that you face. Is they're either, I mean, you're either going to have them both or not have them both, and I don't know how much good it does. However, I will say that I think that Matt and Raven are playing a pretty darn good game. They haven't pissed anybody off. They haven't ruffled anybody's feathers. And, you know, they haven't really made Cody and Jess dislike them. I think it's really come down to, you know, they're good with Paul. They're good with pretty much everybody else. I don't think that they're a huge threat to anybody in their opinion right now, but you know, they're going to have to, if they want to stay in the house, they're going to have to win HOH. They're going to have to make a move. And they were both in it with Paul right before Paul won his second HOH. There was only three people left, and it was Matt, Raven, and Paul. So either one of them could have taken a shot after Mark had made this comment of, you know, there's a passive couple in the house that Paul had, you know, said, hey, guys, I think he's talking about you. They got to make a move eventually, but right now, they might be the most low-key showmance in the house at the moment.
I agree. I think they definitely are low-key, and to be quite honest, who knows, but I think that they might be undermining their physical abilities. I mean, you figure that Raven is a dancer, and
And Matt is, you know, I mean, he's somebody who's who obviously is strong. I mean, I don't think either one of them are stupid.
I think they can definitely kill it in competitions, and who knows, maybe they are undermining their abilities and just kind of playing it low-key like Dan said, but
yeah.
I think they both definitely are physically stronger and capable of winning a lot of comps. I really do, and I mean, we'll see what happens.
Mark, as soon as Cody and Jess, you went back to the HOH room, and Jess had won HOH. Mark followed them in there, pled his loyalty. I love you guys. I love you guys so much. Oh my God, we love you guys.
Mark,
it's like,
an idiot.
It's like, let's all go out to dinner and let's double date and let's just have a good time and let's just like be each other's friends and let's go see a movie together. I mean, he was cool with Paul.
Mark is definitely an idiot.
Well, the thing is, he was cool with Paul. He was in Paul's new alliance that broke away from Cody. And then he ran over and was like up Cody's butt, and Cody's like, I'm appeasing Mark because he already stabbed me in the back. And then Paul has seen it. I mean, Mark essentially, to me, has thrown himself right in the middle of the house where Cody doesn't want him and Paul doesn't want him, and there's really no other big group to take him. And I do agree that I think he's probably not the smartest tool in the shed, so you know, I mean, is Mark's game over? I mean, is it just a matter of time before Mark goes goodbye?
I think Mark's game is totally over. I think he's one of those meatheads that, to be quite honest, has just blow-up muscles. I mean, he hasn't won a comp. He hasn't done well in a comp. And sadly, I absolutely love Elena. And I think that if she can be her own person and play the game for herself, I think she will rock it. I mean,
she would take a shot at Paul, I think. She'd be one of the people
I think she would. And to be, like, I don't know. I think she could even,
because she's good.
She could play in getting rid of Mark. I'm not sure she's so keen on Mark.
No. Well, Big Brother After Dark has shown that Josh likes her a little bit, so maybe that'll be over.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Elena's a tough girl. You look at her in that competition where she came down to like third, and basically people dropped because they were making deals. But I mean, she looked good in that, and Mark seriously hasn't done anything. And Mark is quite honestly a loose cannon as well. He was fighting with Josh over a freaking pool game. I mean, and it went on for, I mean, in a TV
show.
He's yelling
at him about being the man of his word after he voted out Cody.
Mark, excuse my language, I think is a pussy. Sorry, I'm just going to say it.
It's a woman saying it on the show, which means it's okay.
I think it is. I think he has those blow-up muscles. I think he's Popeye. I don't think he works out for them. I'm just saying it. And that's my...
So you just think he has a can of spinach before Big Brother gets on television?
Yeah, I do. Or steroids. We'll just say that. I mean...
So outside of accusing Mark of being a few things and being a steroid abuser, but when you look at somebody like... Christmas. She's still a wild card. I don't really know what she's thinking. I don't know what's going on. You know, watching Big Brother After Dark, Kevin talks about it, Jason talks about it, how, you know, Jason accidentally was, you know, he was running around with her, horsing around, and as we know, when you're a kid or an adult and you horse around, things happen. Somebody could get hurt. You don't do it on purpose. But Jason was messing around with Christmas. She fell. She broke her foot. She's in that big cast. You know, and she's been going around the house, and Jason's like, listen, she's asking me to get her water. She's saying, pick me up, help me, bring me here, do this for me, make my food. And if he goes against any of it, she's like, well, you know, it is your fault that I broke my foot. You put me in this situation. It's your fault that I'm here. It's your fault I can't compete. And then at the same time, I feel like Christmas could be dangerous, but I still don't understand why she tried to vote out Ramses earlier on in the season. So, to me, Christmas is still a wild card, and I feel like she's going to have to bond to somebody, because I don't think anybody in the house is, like, her ride or die right now. I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't have much to say about her. All I can think of is her scooting on her scooter in the house, and... I think she can be a strong competitor, obviously, if she didn't have her injury, but honestly don't have much of an opinion on her. I think she's physically competitive. I think she plays right now a low profile. I really like her, but I don't know. She's kind of in the middle for me right now.
So if you had to pick three people that you think could make it to the end of this thing, any of these three that could win, if you had to pick three people that you think potentially could win this whole thing, who would they be?
Alex, Paul, and Kevin.
Okay, fair enough. I would like to say that I thought differently, and we did not discuss this beforehand, but my three were Alex, Paul, and Kevin. So
lies.
No, it really was. It was definitely Paul. Kevin's been my dark horse. You know, I kind of made that decision last week, and then... Alex is somebody who I feel like nobody's worried about her. I mean, for goodness sakes, Jess called her Pow Pow, and Pow Pow was an awful player. I think she was the 15th out of, you know, she was the second person out, so 16 people, and she was the second person out of the house, I believe. She was atrocious, and there was nothing about her that was game playing. She just didn't do anything, where Alex, I think, is really smart, and... she makes decisions, and the thing I love about Alex is she will tell you to your face when Cody's like, you need to do this for me, and she's like, nah, I don't really think about it, and I don't think I'm going to do it. And then Paul will come up and say, I want to do this, and she's like, yeah, you know, I'll consider it. I think maybe we need to do this. But, you know, she's working with Paul, but she's that person that, not like Jason, where Cody went up to Jason, and Jason was, like, terrified at first, he looked like, and then... after the fact, when they voted Ramses out, he was like, let's go to war. So he got some cojones, I guess, the second time around. But Alex is one of those people where somebody will ask her to do something, and if she doesn't want to, she will not do it behind your back. She won't try to stab you in the back. She'll look you in the face and go, nah, I don't really want to do that. And I respect that. I mean, she literally will tell somebody no, and then they're like, at least for Cody, he goes, okay, well, I guess just think about it. Like, he never wants to get her out of the house, which I still don't understand why, unless he's attracted to her and Jess. I don't get why he tells her to do things, and instead of berating her and verbally abusing her like everybody else, he leaves her alone.
No, I agree, and I think she was in the forefront originally, and now she's kind of in the background again. And again, I just keep thinking of the couples. That's all my focus has gone towards since day one. And I think their mistake was that they established those showmances literally from day 1/2. And it was like, you barely know each other. I don't understand. I mean, they said we paired off.
Yeah.
They paired off.
Do you think it's a strategic thing that the women did? Or do you think that there's actual care? I mean, with Elena and Mark, I don't think so. But do you think that these women care for these men, or is it more of, let's just do this?
I think Raven really does. I think she has a good heart.
But woman's intuition, do you think that this was more game than feeling, or both, or what?
I'm not sure. I think maybe the women, honestly, as a female, I think the women maybe got themselves into a clique with each other. I think they all three were a clique, and then it was kind of like from there, like, okay, we're going to break off into these couples, but I'm not sure they were all really thinking smart, because, like I said, that's literally where my focus goes to, because everyone else is individual. You have those three quote-unquote showmances, and that is what you see.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is kind of an individual right now. They don't really have established sides of the house, and they don't really have a grouping.
So I'm going to ask you a bunch of hypotheticals that we're both going to answer. And then I want you to ask me a couple. So think of a couple things you want to say. But I'm going to start with, would you ever try to win the first HOH?
No.
Why not?
I just think that's always a big red flag, and I think it's such a big target on your back. I mean, unless you know that you're going to be able to win HOH a few times in a row, or no, you can't.
Yeah, you would have to win it every other week.
So, I mean, unless you're super, super confident in your physical and your competitive ability, I probably would not.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree that I would not want to be the first HOH. I would not want to be the first person that people see in power. I just don't think that's a smart decision. My next thought is, you know, you and I are married, so let's put it in the reality sense. If you and I went into the game, and let's say we played separate seasons, you played season 20, I played season 21. What do you think about going in there as a married person? Because normally I feel like, you know, when you're married and you have kids or you're older or whatever, I mean, we're young and we're married, but, you know, I feel like those people get targeted out because they can't have a showmance and they're not flirting and they're not using that to their advantage. Yet Jason and Kevin are both married and they're doing all right. And I think Kevin's doing pretty damn all right. So how would you handle it as a married woman going into the house?
I think I would have to be really social, which I feel like I am in real life. And you have to be everyone's friend. I don't think you have to be flirty or anything. And I think it just depends on kind of the cast for the season. I mean, to those people in the season that are married going in, they have a really big advantage. You already have three couples in the house, whereas there's other seasons where there might just be like one or kind of flings. But I think this season it definitely works in your advantage if you are... I shouldn't say your advantage, but I think if you're married, it doesn't really matter because everyone's, you know, already a couple.
Well, I think the advantage is you're not letting other brains play the game for you. You know, you're not looking to fall in love. You're not looking to do this and that. You're not, you know, staring at somebody walking by in a bikini or, you know, with no shirt on and this, that, and the other thing. And apparently it must be a clause in their contract that they have to wear as least clothes as possible because they feel like the men don't own shirts. And I feel like the women always have to be in something scandalous at some point. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like you and I could go in there and we're already focused people, but you could be even more focused because you're not looking to get anything else out of it. You know, you're looking to win the game. I'm looking to walk in there and get $500,000 and bring it home to you, you know, as opposed to saying, well, you know, maybe I want to sleep with this person and do this. I feel like you lose focus really quick when your right brain isn't focused.
Right. I agree. I totally agree.
The other one is if you went into the game single, hypothetically, how would you play?
I would play like I would right now. I wouldn't look into a showmance. I wouldn't look into any of that. I would separate myself as my individual being. And, I mean, in life, I feel like I have a pretty strong social game where I could probably be almost anyone's friend and look at any angle. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't use myself as an object and make myself into a showmance or, you know, connect with anyone on that level.
Yeah, I think you got to be focused on what you're doing, and you got to be, I mean, the thing is, there's money on the line, and you don't know who's doing what, who's after what, even if you think it's a relationship, you don't know if it's a relationship. I mean, for goodness sakes, with James and Natalie and everything that became, you know, became after the fact, you know, I think James is genuine, and I don't know what Natalie was or wasn't or what was going on. I think you got to go into that house and you got to stay focused, and I think you need to understand what's going on. So, you know, before we end the show, I asked you a couple hypotheticals. So what topics do you have for us to close out the show?
All right. Well, these are really great, important questions.
Yeah, ask me if I would eat slop or something. What are you going to ask?
No, I'm going to ask you. All right. So you obviously are receiving whatever food they bring into the house.
Right.
I don't know how that works. I don't know if they order HelloFresh, if they have, I'm sure they have crew that comes on and refills their food need. Anywho, what type of fast food or restaurant would you desperately miss?
Chick-fil-A. Next question.
Okay, well, you don't eat Chick-fil-A every day, so if Chick-fil-A wasn't an option, outside of that, not even just fast food, like sit down, whatever, type of food would you miss?
I would miss being able to, like, order a pizza from somewhere, because they can't order pizza.
Right, so it'd be frozen.
So I would say pizza.
All right, that's a good one. I did have a really good one.
What would you miss?
That's a really good question. Weirdly, maybe Taco Bell. I feel like if I was going to any fast food place, it would be Taco Bell.
Okay. What else do you have for us?
What would you miss the most out of internet, phone, or television?
Well, being a broadcaster for the last 14 years, I would say it's tough because I would say the internet for work, but I wouldn't be working. I mean, I can live without TV. I think I would miss the phone because I would miss talking to you. I'd miss talking to, obviously, my mom, you know, talking to my friends. I would miss something happening in the house and me wanting to call you up and be like, babe, did you just see what I did? So, I mean, I think I would miss you, and because I'd miss you, I'm not just saying this, I mean it, you know, and you know that. I would miss you, and missing you would make me miss the phone because you text me every day, and you've done that for more than 5 years, and I don't know, it would be weird. It would be really weird not being able to talk to you. I'd have to tell you going into the house to watch the live feed, and that I would do signals that would mean certain things to you, and that, like, somehow, some way, even though I couldn't see you, you could see me, and maybe that would give me some peace. Because I think it'd drive me, I mean, I would have to get focused, because I know you'd want me to, but it'd probably drive me crazy not being able to be around you. What would you miss the
most? That's so sweet. Well, that's
I was
really
being
sweet.
Honest. I mean, I married somebody I love, you know, I didn't settle, so.
What would I miss, like, out of those three, or just in general?
I kind of took it where I took it, so you can take it wherever you want to take it.
Well, I can't just pick one. It would be you or Lily, our little pup. Our little pup.
Me or the dog.
Okay, obviously you. Maybe close to Lily, but.
Nice. No, I miss Lily too.
No, it would be you and just being in our home. Last question here.
Yeah.
I gotta think now.
I love how I gave like a really like romantic long answer and you're like, you or the dog. Probably you. We do have a good marriage.
That sums up our relationship. Dan's very,
you're romantic.
I'm romantic, but in a different way. No, we're the same.
Sexually.
Hang on. I had a good question. You threw me off.
That's right. That's what I'm here
for. Okay, no. What? Okay, this is like kind of outside of Big Brother, but kind of in. I don't know if this is a rule.
Okay.
But if there was like one thing that you could only bring with you to the show, obviously not me or Lily, our dog, what would you bring?
Or electronics or anything.
Right. Like what's the one item you would bring?
The heck would I bring? I don't think they don't let you bring like pictures of anybody either. So I don't think, because when you win HOH, you get to see pictures and letters. I'd probably bring something from my grandmother. Yeah, I'd probably maybe bring something she got me.
Like that really awesome radio that's in the guest room?
I can't even bring that, so.
Why?
Because you can't have any connection to the outside world.
True.
So, I mean, I don't know, probably something given to me from my grandmother or my mom, I would say. You know, because I could bring t-shirts and whatever I want. You know, and I don't know if the guys only bring one shirt. I think Matt only has one Texas shirt, or he bought all of them and they're all the same. And maybe he has seven, and maybe he just changes every day.
Maybe they don't have laundry there. Maybe
they better have
maybe
laundry.
Maybe somebody has to pick it up and do it for them.
They better have laundry.
So and even food. How do they know that they're running out of food?
Because you go into the diary room and suggest things to production.
Is that true?
Production, I ran out of Cheerios.
True?
Yeah, you can go and talk to production.
No, that's so false.
I watch After Dark. You do not.
If I was like production, I ran out of frozen pizzas. They would
probably bring you pizzas. So you didn't kill somebody.
What if I was like production, I ran out of wine, Chardonnay? Would they bring that?
I don't probably. Well, so what's one thing you would bring with you?
Wine. No.
You can't bring wine.
I don't know. My eye's really bothering me right now.
I would bring some Memento.
Ow. Oh, God, my eye. I'm not kidding.
Well, are we recording?
I know. I'm trying to think here. I would bring maybe your Marywood blanket, weirdly. That's very nostalgic for me.
Okay.
I feel like I'm cuddling with you.
Oh, see, look, she is sweet.
I am sweet.
No, you very much are. This has been Big Brother Blitz with Dan Tortora and
Kate Tortora.
We're happy to have you here on superpoweredpop.com, superpoweredpop.podbean.com, and on Facebook and Twitter at superpoweredpop. We'll be with you very soon for the next episode of Big Brother Blitz, and we appreciate you tuning in. Thanks so much.